Well, hello everybody, and welcome to my new podcast. It's Jeff, and we're going to talk Eagles. Lots to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. A crazy offseason. Who would have seen this coming? Certainly not me. And we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, from the Carson Wentz and everything that went along and sort of built up and led to, you know, our franchise quarterback being traded, all the way into the upcoming draft here that's rapidly approaching. So a little background about me is I've been an Eagles fan since, 8 years old, and I'm from Connecticut, so there's not many Eagle fans around here. But, you know, I've been a diehard fan, and most people are most people ask me, hey, how the heck are you an Eagles fan in Philadelphia? You from Philly? I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that question. No, never lived in Philadelphia, but you would never know it from my passion for the Eagles, from the knowledge base that I hope to bring in this podcast as a fan, as experienced former football player, not in the NFL, not even collegiately. But I did play football for 7 years back in high school and then in my youth back in the day. So I certainly understand the game. And so I just want to give you a little bit of background information of me. I know a lot of the, for those of you familiar with YouTube and, you know, the former Trash Talk and Circle, I participated in that about 12 years ago now, kind of in the earlier days. So I know a lot of the Eagle fans that have come and gone, as well as, some of the Cowboy fans and Giants fans that are out there. I won't disclose at this time, maybe I will at some point, what my YouTube name is. But right now, I'm trying to figure out as I kind of launch this podcast, what I'm going to call the program. So I don't know if people will have the ability to make comments when they listen to my this podcast. But if you do, and if you can, I'm really about as new and a novice to this as you can imagine. But if it does allow you to make comments, please provide me the feedback. This is my first run at this, and I'm sure I'll get better as we go. But if you have any suggestions, as far as what I could name the broadcast, it's going to be primarily focused on the Eagles, but, you know, I like to talk about current events, and so I probably will do that at some point. These are just some things spinning around in my head. I probably would just keep this exclusively to the Eagles, and that way I could build a fan base and build an audience. Not necessarily a fan base, but an audience with the Eagles, and that'll be my primary focus. And it certainly is with my initial broadcast here. So let's get into a few of the – let's talk about the offseason first and what my thoughts are as to what happened with the Eagles and Carson Wentz. Let me just say this. I am a huge – Carson Wentz fan. And even after everything that happened, because there's certainly some things here that I am very disappointed in Carson with, and I'll get into those, but from a human fan of Carson, I do wish him well. And I think he's going to do well in Indianapolis. I can't say that with full confidence, because after seeing him play last year, I really now have to question what's in his head. And is Carson going to be able to really sort of unplug from his Philadelphia experience in recent years and fully kind of start over? And if he can do that, I think you're going to see very close to the Carson Wentz that we saw when he was almost the MVP of the league. It would have been the MVP of the league that year he got injured. But I'm very skeptical of that. And I'll tell you why. I think that Carson, he has all the ability you need. He has the arm. He has the ability to read defenses, although that really slipped last year. But I'm talking about pre-injury Carson. We know that he could play. We know that he could play at a high level. Can he still play hard at a high level? That's the question. And that's where I think he can. And I almost expect him to, but I'm just falling short of being of saying the word expect, even though I just did. So I'm trying to figure out a different word, but expect is not necessarily the right word. I'm not at expect. I think he's going to do well in Indianapolis. Reason, got a better offensive line, and it is a fresh start, and he's kind of got a comfort zone with a coach that he gets along with. For those three reasons, and if he can disconnect completely, meaning get his confidence back that has been absolutely destroyed in Philadelphia, which is not always easy to do, and that's why I can't say that I expect him to be great again. But it wouldn't surprise me if he is. And if I had to put money on it, I think Carson will do good in Indianapolis. I think it was a good move for Indy to pick him up. But as I've said, there comes with a lot of reservations. Now, let's go back a little bit to what I feel is what caused this entire blow up with the Eagles and Carson Wentz. I blame them both. I blame the Eagles and I believe Carson Wentz. Which one has more of a blame? I'm going to say the Eagles do. Not that it's 90% Eagles, 10% Wentz. I think it's more 60-40. Okay. 55-45. Maybe even there. Because of the draft pick of Jalen Hurts. And people are like, well, some of the counter argument to this is that, Carson should be able to want to compete for the job and not be so disturbed and pissed because the Eagles went out and drafted a backup quarterback with an investing high pick to do so. I 100% agree with that. And I'll get to that piece with Carson. However, with what you're starting quarterback, your franchise quarterback that you have committed $130 million to, you know what he went through and experienced with Nick Foles. It's unprecedented. No quarterback has ever had to deal with what Carson dealt with. And this is where I give Carson a little bit of a break. And as I say that very, specifically. Directly, a tiny break, only because it is an unprecedented situation. So I think, the Eagles, what do they call it, emotional, maybe one of you listeners out there, emotional something. What was something with Jeff Lurie had to do with emotional thinking or emotional something? And that's what he wanted to bring to the Eagles and as a head coach and the people and the players he wanted to bring in. Emotional intelligence. That's what it was. Emotional intelligence. You might remember those sort of that catchphrase that Jeffrey Lurie mentioned when he brought in Peterson and after the Chip Kelly debacle. He referenced emotional intelligence. Well, the Eagles have proven to me that they don't have any clue what emotional intelligence is. And at least in the intelligence part, because after getting rid of and not re-signing Nick Foles and moving on from that situation that was causing a lot of potential friction between Wentz and the team and, dividing the locker room, et cetera, you do that. You move on from Foles so that you give and you hand Wentz the keys, the huge contract, the commitment, yada, yada. And then you use the second pick in last year's draft on Jalen Hurts when the Eagles obviously had many other needs on this team to help Wentz, number one, and to help the team defensively, number two. That was a horrible, horrible pick. I said it was horrible when they did it. I was shocked when they did it, like most fans were. I did not give the Eagles any credit from any perspective as to why they did that pick. It was a dumb pick. And why was it a dumb pick? Because worst case scenario, and at the time they made this pick, this is exactly what I thought. Worst case scenario, this causes another ripple effect through the organization. It gets in Wentz's head again because the Eagles, number one, didn't help him out offensively or the team defensively and invested a second round pick in a quarterback. And just you get rid of Foles to clear out and start over with Wentz. And then you do this, one of the dumbest ass decisions you could ever make. And like I said, worst case scenario is what I saw potentially happening is exactly what happened. Wentz got in his head. He felt too much pressure. Didn't know what the heck the organization was doing. Didn't feel the commitment from the organization, other than monetarily, but certainly not in the ball field. And one thing led to another. It's horrible play, terrible play. I mean, he was so bad last year. Just horrible quarterbacking. Cost the Eagles games, first downs. One of the worst performances I've seen from a high-level quarterback since I can remember. I really can't remember somebody that good playing so horribly. So, unprecedented. Just... it was an unprecedented situation. Then you hear the Eagles reasoning for it. Well, you know, we're a quarterback factory, and we're always going to have quarterbacks and yada, yada, yada. Just a dumb explanation. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible decision, and that is why – that's the ultimate reason why Wentz is not here any longer. Mostly, it's on the Eagles. Now, the counterpoint to that is, and I agree with it, is Wentz as a leader of your if you want to be a leader, you fight for your job. You prove to your boss, to your coach, to your parents, whatever it may be, to your teachers, that hey, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to do this, and I'm a competitor. And I'll compete and I'll show you that you either made the wrong decision or that I'm the best person for the job, whatever situation it may be. And because you can find leadership qualities in all aspects of life. But keeping it to football, go out there in the field and prove that you are the man and you are the quarterback. And, you know, I don't care who they picked in the second round. I'm the quarterback of this team. That's what you want to hear and see out of the leader of your team, especially one that you're paying $130 million to. And that's where Wentz let me down as a fan. And that's where I grew increasingly concerned about Carson Wentz and his ability to be the leader that we thought he was. So I'm very skeptical when I say, and part of the reasons why I don't know, and I can't use the word expect Carson have a good season or a great season with the Colts, because I don't know if he's a true leader anymore or if even he was. Maybe we were under this false premise that he was. He's not shown that he is. He had the 2017 season when he was absolutely amazing, but we never got to see him perform in the playoffs that year. And we never got him to see him perform in the playoffs at all in his career. Except for the few plays that he did in the Seattle game, and then he got injured again. Now, I know that I don't fault him for that injury. That was a cheap shot by Javion Clowney. But bottom line is we haven't seen Carson play in a big spot. And so that's yet to be determined. But when you got a guy that basically cowarded his way out of Philadelphia was not up to for a challenge and kind of tuck his head between his legs and ran off. It was tail between his legs, not his head. Maybe his head too. But you know what I mean? You don't want to see that. I don't want that in my quarterback. So that's why I don't care as much. I mean, I feel very disappointed as far as what happened with Carson Wentz and how much the team invested in him and draft capital to even go up and get him that year and the money that they devoted to him, set us, you know, that they were paying him and building the team around him. And to see where this team is now is very disappointing. It's very unfortunate and it sucks. You know, it just, it's terrible. But I want a leader of my team. I want a guy that will fight for his job, that can play under adversity, that is up to the challenge and won't cower in adversity, to adversity. And so, sayonara Carson Wentz. I ended up being very down on him by the end of this, you know, for how he finished the season and pouted and didn't talk to the media, didn't talk to anybody, and talked through his client, or his, talked to his, through his attorneys, which was very little, and basically asked his way out of Philadelphia. And you know what? Excuse me. I don't want somebody like that leading my team. I don't know about you guys. And I did. I was a huge Carson Wentz fan. I collect Eagles memorabilia and cards, and I invested a lot in Carson Wentz. And, regardless of my quarterback is on the Eagles, I root for him. So I'll be rooting 100% for Jalen Hurts next year. But I'm very, very disappointed in Carson Wentz, and I have to say that I don't think Carson Wentz is a leader. He's got to prove me wrong now. I think the only thing he's ever shown is that he's not a leader. He has not shown that he's a leader, and he's not shown that he can fight through adversity. He hasn't shown that. Is he a tough player? I mean, do I think people knock him too much for being injury prone? Yes. You're going to get hurt in football, and sometimes people get hurt and early on in their career and end up not being hurt for a while. We look at Brandon Graham, for example, right? Brandon Graham, first couple of years, and by the way, I was a huge Brandon Graham. I've had Brandon Graham's back right from the beginning. Now, I'm just starting my podcast today, but but I have been a huge Brandon Graham fan since day one. I was backing him up when there were all these reports and rumors that the Eagles were going to cut him early on in his career. And there was two reasons why I stuck with Brandon Graham. Number one, he never really got a chance to play because he was injured. And then when he did, he was like kind of a third down pass rusher specialist. And then early on in the career, they were moving around different positions. Remember, they tried him out a linebacker for 1 year. I think he played linebacker for almost the entire year. Almost every year in his first few years of his career, he had a different defensive coordinator or a different scheme change in a defense. And again, he had those early injuries. But I saw the talent. You know, my eyes, again, I played the game. I've been a longtime football fan and Eagles fan. So, you know, I have an eye test and I could see ability and I could see talent. And I saw that in Brandon Graham. And I couldn't believe the people that, you know, wanted to push him out of town and you know, want the Eagles to cut him. Just, you know, I totally had Brandon Graham's back. I saw the ability there. And look what happened. I mean, he became one of the best defensive linemen in Eagles history. You know, he's probably top 10 for sure. So, with that being said, Carson Wentz and his injuries, I didn't really knock him so much. You know, his injuries, number one, that play in the end zone against the Rams, that was an effort play. You know, I'm never going to knock somebody for getting injured, for giving out effort like he did. And that's what I want to see in my quarterback. So, again, you know, getting back to, you know, playing hard and showing leadership. Maybe he's not showing smartness, sacrificing his body like that. But I'm sure as he was diving over the goal line, he didn't expect to have his knee torn to shreds. So, you know, I didn't knock Carson for the injury. But I do knock him for his attitude and his the way that he handled things this offseason I thought were bad. So I've already spent almost 15 minutes talking about Carson. I don't want to talk a lot. We've got to move on as a fan base about Wentz. But leave your comments, again, if you can. I don't know if this podcast is going to allow you as an audience to leave any comments. But if it does, please, I want to know your thoughts, and I'll be sure to talk about them during my next podcast. And we'll see how this goes. I think eventually I might want to move this to YouTube and do like live streaming at some point. But I want to build an audience first, and I have to really test out all of what this podcast will allow me to do with my audience, because I certainly want fan interaction. Call it fans. Audience interaction with this program, and that's going to be a really key part of it. So I'm hoping that this will allow comments to be made, and then I will address them on my next on the next podcast. And I don't know how often I'm going to do these. I guess I'll try to commit to at least once a week, and maybe I'll do more, maybe I'll do less. I don't know, but I want to build an audience, and I wanted to interact with fellow Eagle fans or NFL fans even out there. All right, so feel free, and I encourage everyone to comment. All right, so now let's move Wentz aside, and let's talk about the 2021 upcoming draft and what I feel that the Eagles have done so far. Well, let's talk about the offseason, then we'll get to the draft. So in the offseason, I have to say that Howie has made some really good moves. I approve of what Howie has done this offseason so far overall. And I give him a high grade. I like what he did with the bringing in the safety from the Vikings. I like what he's done bringing in the linebacker, especially. I think his name is Williams. I really like that guy from what I've seen. I think he's going to bring some energy to this team. We haven't had an energetic linebacker on this team in a long time, and I'm hoping that he can bring us some of that, and a guy that can pressure and blitz the quarterback. And I don't want to ever compare someone to Seth Joyner, because that's just not fair to Seth. I love Seth. He's one of the best linebackers we ever have. But, you know, even if we get somebody with half of that much ability and energy on the field, that would be a huge boost over what we've had over the last 10 years of that position, which is hardly anything. So I do like that move as well. I'm kind of, I don't know, there's days when I wake up and I'm happy with what the Eagles did, with the trade that the Eagles did moving back from 6 to 12 in this draft, because they get another first, and he basically lined himself up. As long as Wentz stays healthy and plays, I don't know, what is it, 80% of the game, 70% of the snaps next year, they're going to get another first-round pick. So, you know, they have a chance to get three first-round picks next year, and that's, you know, this team is in rebuild mode. Whether they want to admit it or not, they are. It's clear. It's obvious. So to get three first-round picks next year is a good thing. Even though they probably will be lower picks, but you never know. You never know how the NFL season goes. But I do think that getting a first round pick was a good move. I know we need to move back six slots. And here's the reason why I'm kind of on the fence. If the Eagles were not going to take Ja'Marr Chase, who I think is a game changing talent in this draft, if they weren't going to take Chase at six, or if they didn't think he was going to get there at six, and, you know, they weren't high on any other wide receivers, and they could thought they could get one of the guys, whatever the position they're targeting at 12, then I definitely applaud the move. It makes sense. And they still should be able to get somebody good at 12. I wanted Ja'Marr Chase. When I saw him play in college, his junior year, I think it was, because I know he missed last year. I don't know if it was sophomore year or junior year, what year he was. The year that, you know, they won a national title with Burrow, and that guy was the best player in the football field. I mean, by leaps and bounds to me. When I was watching the national championship game, and then I just went back and watched Chase's highlights, that guy is a dominant force. He is going to be an amazing talent in the NFL. And I would love to have a true number one wide receiver in Philadelphia. And so I did not like moving back, because it gets you out of the chase. You're not going to get Chase at 12. Not even going to get probably Waddle at 12 if they're going to go wide receiver. But if the Eagles were not going to go wide receiver and they were going to go for one of the corners, okay, as an example, then moving back and picking up a first-round pick makes a lot of sense. And so I have a feeling that's probably what the Eagles wanted to do. I don't think Chase was on there. I don't think the wide receiver position they wanted to draft at six. That's the kind of the impression I get. If it is, then this was a dumb move to make. But I don't think it is. I don't think the Eagles were going to draft a wide receiver with the sixth pick. So for that reason, I do like the move. I don't like the fact that they are now behind Dallas and the Giants. That doesn't make me. I'm not thrilled about that. But I do like getting that first-round pick for next year. So it gives them a lot of draft capital to make some moves next year if they need to. You know, we're going to find out about Hurts this year, if he's going to be the future quarterback or not. And if he's not, then the Eagles are going to have a lot of capital next year, and if they'll probably have a bad season. So they're going to have a high pick anyway. And if they need to move up even higher to get their quarterback, they're going to have the ability to do that. So from that standpoint, I do think overall it was a good move for the Eagles to move back. I think for the team, it was probably a smart thing for Howie to do, which is why, again, I grade him very well for so far. We still have the draft to come. But I think the moves he's made this offseason have been very, very good. So I don't like how they've handled Ertz's situation, just really touching base on Ertz really quick. I love Zach Ertz. We've never would have won the Super Bowl if he didn't make that that play to give the Eagles the lead. And he's been a solid player. He's a good guy. And I think that he's never been that sort of dominant tight end because he could never break a tackle. Or get yak yards, as we call them. But as far as hands and clutch catching and chemistry that he had with Wentz, he was fantastic. He was probably the best tight end in Eagles history when you get right down to it. And they've had some good tight ends. But he's going to go down as one of the best, if not the best, tight end in Eagles history. So, but I don't, you know, it's when that press conference he gave at the end of last year was tough to watch. You know, when he broke down. I think Ertz knew the writing on the wall there. That he was no longer going to be an Eagle. But as of right now, today, here on April 17th, he's still an Eagle. I don't expect him to be here for this season. I think the Eagles are going to move him somehow. But right now, he's still an Eagle. So we'll see how that works. I know Lane Johnson is sort of putting the vibe out there that he would like the Eagles to keep Ertz this year. I think it would help Hurts. Benefit Hurts a lot to have a guy like that that you know has good hands, that you could throw to on third down or on a big first down play. As long as Ertz still has that ability to get open. He was, you know, he's coming off of ankle surgery or whatever, and you know, he's getting older, so we don't know if he's going to be able to create that amount of separation he was always able to do. But you know, if he comes back and he's still able to play, then he's going to benefit a young quarterback like Hurts very, very much. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens, but I don't expect Ertz to be an Eagle this season. All right, so there's kind of the offseason. I don't think I really missed much, hopefully. Talked about Wentz offseason. Let's go into my thoughts about the draft. Kind of touched on a little bit there, but if I – at the 12th spot, I do want a wide receiver. I don't think the Eagles have a number one wide receiver on this team. I don't think that Jalen Reagor is a number one wide receiver. Again, eye test, right? Eye test. I don't see Jalen Reagor as a number one wide receiver. I see him more as a fast slot guy. I think the jury's still out on how good he can be. I'm not as down on Reagor as some people are. I think he showed some ability for sure. I don't think he's number one. So I think the Eagles still need a number one wide receiver. And to that, if one of these guys, especially if for some reason, I don't see it happening, but if Waddle was to fall to 12, and I don't care how much the Eagles want a cornerback, if Waddle is there at 12, the Eagles better freaking take him. Okay? that would be a gift horse. All right. If that happens. And I've watched more tape on Waddle because I knew Chase, once they were, I knew they were out of the Chase race, I started watching Waddle, and he is the closest thing to Tyreek Hill that you're going to find. And I'm not going to ever say anybody's going to be as good as that guy because he's sort of a one-of-a-kind player, speed-wise especially. But Waddle has got that type of game-breaking ability to do that for you. Now, does that make him a number one wide receiver? I don't know, because he's not like, you know, a good possession guy. It's more like a, you know, go deep guy or catch the ball and take off type of receiver. You know, I usually consider like Michael Thomas of the world as number one wide receivers. But, man, but here's the thing. You put Rager on one side of the field and line up Waddle on the other side of the field, and you got two guys like that, and then you have, you know, Dallas Goedert underneath. That's going to be a tough offense to stop, for sure. So, bottom line, if Waddle falls to 12 somehow, or even if he's hanging there around 9, the Eagles might want to think about moving up in front of Dallas and Giants. I don't know if either one of them would take Waddle, but especially Dallas, they don't need him. But the Giants, I suppose, could. But if he's there at 9, Eagles should just, you know, give the team a third and whatever and move up and get him, take him. It appears that the Eagles are going to go cornerback in this league. I mean, in this draft, it looks like they're high on Patrick Surtain Jr. and Horn Jr. Both of them happen to be sons of former NFL players that I was able to watch, and both of them in their career. I saw both of them play. Joe Horn of the Saints, and Surtain played for the Dolphins for a while. I'm fine with corner. You know, if they end up going corner at 12, I'm fine with it, unless Waddle's there. It will piss me off if Waddle's there at 12, especially at 12. And they go cornerback over him. That would absolutely drive me bananas. But let's just say Waddle's off the board. All those other guys, the offensive linemen, are off the board. And those corners are there. Then, yeah, take one. And I don't really have a preference one way or the other. I think that both Horn and Surtain seem to be – I think Surtain might be the safer pick. And maybe Horn's got some more upside. But I don't mind them going corner there. The Eagles need a corner for sure. For me personally, I would consider the Penn State linebacker there. I forget his name right now off the top of my head. But you guys know what I'm talking about. Man, it's going to drive me nuts. I can't remember his – Mika something. Mika – forget his name, but you know what I mean. I would consider it, but the Eagles are not going to draft a linebacker at 12. We just kind of know that. But that, oh, Mika Parsons. Thank you. I knew it would come to me. Mika Parsons. I would consider taking him at 12. But we know how the Eagles deal with linebackers. They don't. So my guess is the Eagles will go cornerback with the first pick, and it'll probably be Horn or Surtain. We'll see how it goes, but I think that's pretty good. Good bet there. So what else do I want to talk about? We're about a half hour into this podcast. So I think that's pretty much all I want to touch on. I want to hear from you fans, anybody out there, Eagle fans that come across this podcast. Please, I don't know if you could thumb this podcast up, or if you could just write a comment and give me some feedback. Let me know how I did. And this is my first time. I just basically hit the microphone, said, let's record. And here we go. I'll throw my thoughts out there. I'm now curious what you guys all have to say. I think one way you could do that, I hope and believe, that you can write comments underneath the podcast so I could see them. Going forward, I'll probably have some call-ins. I know I could probably you know, put a dedicated phone number out there at some point and actually take live calls and have a discussion live. That's kind of what I, you know, kind of envision going forward. We'll see how that goes. I'm trying to think, do I have any other thoughts? That might be it. That might be it for now. I think Eric Allen should be in the Hall of Fame. That's a random thought I'll just throw out there. Any of you Eagle fans that have been around for a long time, I am pushing hard. I mean, Eric Allen should be in the Hall of Fame. I think of all the Eagles, former Eagles, that should be in the Hall of Fame, he is the one that stands out to me. Like, how is Eric Allen not in the Hall of Fame? So let me know your thoughts on that. Do you think Eric Allen, those of you who've been an Eagle fan for a while like myself, and got to see him play during those years of the gangrene defense especially, when you got guys in the Hall of Fame like Daryl Green and Aeneas Williams, who, don't get me wrong, were good players, really good players. But Eric Allen, I think, was better than both of them. So how is he not in? And those guys are. So look at those stats. Like, look at the combined stats. I know Green was a punt returner, I think, for a while. He was like the fastest guy in the NFL for the longest time. So I think he's gotten like some of those accolades that kind of made his name stand out. And he was a good player. Definitely was a good player as well. Good corner. And Aeneas Williams was a good corner as well. I mean, both of those guys, you know, do I think they're Hall of Famers? I'm kind of on the borderline. I don't have a problem with them being in. And I wouldn't have a problem if they weren't in. But you can't put both of those guys in, or either one of those guys in, over Eric Allen. Just can't. Look at their stats. Look them up. Google them if you don't believe me. Eric Allen was a better cornerback. He's a better player. Just was. All right. So I think that's it for now. I don't want to just blabber and kind of ruin the information and the feedback and the talking points that I wanted to get out today. Otherwise, I think I'll just be searching for things to talk about, and that's just going to lead to some dead airtime, and that's not what I want for this program. So until next time, appreciate you tuning in. Please leave me some feedback, whether it's a thumbs up, even if it's a thumbs down. If you didn't like what I had to say, or if you just don't like the program at all, then if you thumb it down, I can figure out what I need to do to make it better. But hopefully you got something out of this. You enjoyed the discussion. And I look forward to our next time. So if you could save this podcast, you know, save it to favorites or whatever. Like I said, I don't know the terminology either with this technology. So, but I know I'm going to imagine that you could probably save certain podcasts so that when somebody does a new podcast that you could get an alert, I would imagine. Or at least you're able to go back and find it pretty easily. But share it with your friends. And there's only one way you can build an audience, and that's with the help through you. So thank you very much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Fly, Eagles, fly. And until next time, take care.